Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go, man.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Tuesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. We come to you live for the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans applies simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. How are we doing, everybody?
It's a Trash Tuesday, so you can take out your trashes here on the show. Who or what are you trashing? Tweet at me, DA on CBS, or on the phone. It's at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Again, on Twitter, DA on CBS. Andy tweets, I'm trashing Cody Parkey for going on morning television and making a total ass of himself. Hashtag enjoy the unemployment line.
Warm, sizzling garbage.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure what the play was there for Cody Parkey. I'm trying to figure, was this Cody thinking he was doing the right thing by taking responsibility publicly? Was he trying to be a good teammate and trying to show a symbol of overcoming adversity and facing your failure? Because he did not run and hide. Remember, Scott Norwood became a recluse. We've had field goal kickers before miss a big kick and then go into hiding. Laces out. Laces out. Think of the story of Ray Finkel. And here he was a couple days afterwards doing national TV and talking about it. So I would think part of this was, in his mind, doing what was right by owning it publicly, and maybe showing kids or other people how to overcome adversity. There was also, though, an element, I admit, that felt opportunistic. It was like, okay, I'm a pariah, I'm a villain, I lost the game, let me quickly make some type of, let me take advantage of the notoriety right now. Because couldn't you just imagine Cody Parkey writing a book about overcoming adversity? Couldn't you just imagine him doing some type of self-help book? I missed the biggest kick of my life, and here's how I made it back. And so getting in the public eye, doing a TV slot like that was like the moment of, okay, let me monetize this. It felt like an agent thing where the agent goes, hey, why don't we spin this and make some cash out of it? Because Matt Nagy said, you know, I didn't like it because it was a me thing, not a we thing. In other words, Cody Parkey went out and did a nationally televised interview about the miss, instead of making it about the entire team, which on the one hand you go, well, at least he's owning it. On the other hand, even the head coach is saying, hey, it's kind of a look at me moment. I'll tell you this, Cody Parkey ain't coming back next year. Parkey is going to end up being the four-letter word in Bears history. At least one of them. At least one of them. Rex Grossman's in there. Charles Martin, the Green Bay Packer defensive end who body slammed Jim McMahon out of his shoulder, separated it, basically ruined the 86 season. There's a couple of them in there. Brett Favre's probably in there. Rodgers, I suppose. But Parkey's going to be in there, and he ain't coming back. By the way, we talked about that Goose Island challenge where the beer distributor, the brewery in Chicago, said, oh, yeah, tough guys on Twitter, you think you could make the Cody Parkey field goal? We'll have you come out of the brewery. Beer for a year. All right? Beer is on us for a year if you kick a 43-yard field goal. We're going to set up real uprights, have an official there, have it down. You're going to make it beer for a year. And?
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
Number one, the videos were a disgrace. The video clip that went viral was one of these dudes slipping. It was snowing. It was a slick surface. Slipping and kicking the ball into the groin of the judge that was right there. Nice. Not exactly 43 yards. And also, somebody told me that no contestant made it. That they went 0 for 101. 0 for 101! Look, Parkey has a job, and he's trained. He's a professional. This is what he does. This is what he is paid for. So, no, he should not have the same expectation as some rando Joe Sixpack walking over to the Goose Island Brewery in the middle of the snow. But it does just go to show you how everybody thrashes on Twitter. And it's always so silly when we forget that these guys are the elite of the elite of the elite of the elite, and there's no way we could do that. I was watching the speed of one of the playoff games this week, and I just said, I wish I could be out there for one play. One play. And I've been on the sideline of games before, but, and even that is a whoa moment, but I would love to be in the middle of the action, like one of those refs, like, let me just be the back judge. Because the instantaneous reaction of everything is so remarkable. And we lose all of that because of slow motion. We lose all of that because of instant replays. We think all of this happens where we can easily identify what is going on. It does not. It is such instinct and such a flash of a second, milliseconds, that decide entire games. And I'm just like, man, one play would be amazing. Oddity to be getting hit, that's for sure. I do not need Darius Leonard trucking me. That's for damn sure. I don't need D Ford coming at me with a head of steam. I don't need to be covering Julian Edelman when Brady is back there to pass. None of that is interesting to me. I do not want to be hunted by Melvin Ingram. But I would like to just be in the middle and say, oh, that's how quick you have to identify the hot read? Oh, that's how small that window is? Oh, that's how quickly you've got to read the tight end coming out? And all these dopes loaded up on beer and hot wings saying, oh, I can make the Cody Parkey field goal. No, you can't. You blubbering fool. You can't. More trashings. Joe tweets, I thought the fast food spread yesterday at the White House for Clemson was a cool idea, but I'm trashing them for serving Filet-O-Fish. Who eats those?
Stinky debris.
I think a lot of people around Lent eat those. When I worked in Boston, Scott Zolak, former Patriots quarterback, now turned broadcaster, lived on Filet-O-Fish around Lent. Lived on it.
It's a solid Lent food.
I don't know if I could trust the whitefish remnants smashed into a patty. I don't know. A lot of places I would eat fish from. Not that. More trashings. Rob tweets, I'm trashing the Chiefs fan that the camera caught throwing snowballs onto the field. Hashtag Trash Tuesday. Hashtag get them out. Hashtag Chiefs Kingdom.
Splash Brothers. More like the Trash Brothers.
Get them out.
I just don't understand the thinking in the stands when there's snow and going, oh, you know what? The next thing we should do is let's put this snow into a ball and then toss it onto the field and risk getting kicked out. You know, this is in 1965. We have seen people get kicked out for throwing a snowball before. You know everything is on camera. And even if the TV cameras don't get you, everybody in your section has a cell phone camera. At no point anymore is it safe to throw things onto the field without knowing you're getting the boot. You know how much money you've got to spend for a playoff ticket and you are willing to just toss it away, literally? I don't understand that. Brett tweets, I'm trashing the oblivious, half-witted numbskulls who stand a millimeter behind you in the checkout line and keep the same distance the whole time. Like, bruh, you and I just bumped uglies for the third time. I can still feel your breath on my neck. Back off.
Let's face it. That's straight trash.
Bump uglies. I haven't heard that in a while.
Kevin tweets, I'm trashing those people who say, yeah, no. Well, which is it? Trash them.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
Get them out.
No. Yeah. No, 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 no. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 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 No, 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 no. Yeah, no, no, it's fine. No, yeah, yeah, we're going to go there. Yeah, no, 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 it's fine. No, yeah. Yeah, they came over after work the other day. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, 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 no. No, yeah. Lonnie tweets, I'm trashing this leaky roof at work. Can I get a beam up?
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
Adam Ray tweets, I'm trashing everyone who says Eli isn't a Hall of Famer, but is okay with Dan Fouts being in. Eli has 2 Super Bowl rings. Fouts says what? Hashtag Eli's a Hall of Famer. Hashtag accept it.
Warm, sizzling garbage.
Here's the difference. Agreed, Fouts only went to 1 AFC championship game, never made a Super Bowl. But you have to value Dan Fouts and his brilliance in his era. For his era, there was nobody else that was a better passer than he was. He put up crazy numbers and crazy stats in an era where you just did not do that. You have to realize, in the 1970s, when he begins his career, into the early 1980s, it is not a passing league. Terry Bradshaw, Roger Staubach, they are winning Super Bowls, but they're not throwing for 4,000 yards a year. They're not even throwing for 3,000 yards a year. They're not even throwing for 30 touchdowns a year. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Terry Bradshaw's highest touchdowns ever thrown in a season were 26. Dan Fouts was doing something in 1976 and 77, 78, 79, 80, 81, 82 that nobody else literally was doing. It would be like if right now there was, let's just say it's Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes, and then everybody else was Blake Bortles. That's what it was like. That one guy was that good and played an offense that obviously played to that strength. But one guy was putting up Matthew Stafford numbers, and then everybody else was putting up Blake Bortles numbers. That's how different Fouts was in that time at that era. Now, by the early to mid-80s, things change. Elway comes in. Marino comes in. The West Coast offense with Montana is now a bigger part of the NFL. And, you know, even Washington opens up the offense with Theismann by 82 and 83. And so things had then changed. But between essentially Fouts in 76 and until that revolution with Bill Walsh and Joe Montana in 81, 82, nobody is doing what Dan Fouts is doing. It was like a guy landed from a different planet and just took over. Kind of like Adam Gase yesterday in his press conference. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. We've got Jeff Schwartz, who's going to join us coming up on the show. Longtime NFL offensive lineman. We'll look ahead to the AFC and NFC title games with him. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Mornings, Mothership.
Hey, good morning, D.A. Love your take. Kind of a recent listener to your program, and I love it. You're awesome.
D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
Wow. I'm blushing.
Aw, I love the dog.
Thanks for being with us. 22 minutes past the hour, and a happy Trash Tuesday to you. You can take out the trash, anything that's bugging you, trash it. By hitting us up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. Joining us here on the show to look ahead to the championship games this weekend. Eight-year NFL offensive lineman played for the Kansas City Chiefs. And, of course, the Chiefs hosting the AFC title game. Also, rooting interest in that game via family. Also, an NFL analyst for SiriusXM NFL and the Action Network, our friend Jeff Schwartz. Jeff, good morning.
Yes, I will be there in Arrowhead, freezing my little tail off. But I was not going to go, and I figured, you know what? How many times is your brother going to play in an AFC championship game? So, an AFC championship game, doesn't matter. Either way, so I'm going to be there. It's going to be the highest 10 for the day. They said it could get to negative 15 wind chill, but I'll be outside during Tucson.
Negative 15 wind chill. How does Jeff Schwartz dress for negative 15 wind chill?
So, you know, I don't know if you were in Minneapolis for the Super Bowl for Radio Row last year.
I was.
But, yeah, so I had to do radio at 6 a.m. for Sirius. Not had to. I mean, I was fine doing it. But so I got up and drove in over to Mall of America. It was negative 22 one morning.
Mm.
So I still have a jacket that I bought when I played for the Vikings. So it's a negative 40 rated Carhartt. It's fantastic. Not a problem with my upper body. I got a face shield. I got a beanie. I got gloves. I ordered thermal pants. Not even thermal tights. Like thermal pants and some thermal socks. I have my snow boots. I don't know how I'm going to wear them. I feel that I'll be uncomfortable for many hours. It's only supposed to snow Saturday. So the hand warmers, I'll be ready, man. I just got to do it, right? You got to do it. Obviously, the game being 0 degrees is an element that's hard to predict how the game's going to go, obviously, because how do you predict how that's going to go? I mean, you know, Tom Brady, I'd say, has probably played in more of these games. I don't know if he's ever played a game that cold than has Pat Mahomes, but we thought the cold would mess with the Chiefs the other day, and it definitely didn't. So I don't know how this is going to affect the game, really.
I wonder as well, because you're right, Brady has played at far more of these at really sub-zero temperatures, except a slick turf, a frozen turf, it's a grass field at Arrowhead, it can't help short passing if everything is built on crisp route running and timing, which really Brady is, right? I mean, it's not, Brady doesn't wait for his receivers to make a play. They've got to be in the exact spot when he's got to hit them. And that can't help that timing offense.
No, it can't. And I will say, Kansas City does. They spent millions of dollars to install the heated field, right? So the field should not be frozen, at least, which obviously is important when we talk about this game. But I will say, you know, the Chiefs are also a timing offense. I mean, you know, Mahomes does more, obviously, after the snap as far as moving around the pocket than does Tom Brady. But they're a West Coast offense, right? They run a lot of the RPOs, a lot of slants, a lot of timing stuff. So, again, I don't know how this will affect the Chiefs. They do play on grass, obviously, more often than do the Patriots, who even in division only have one division opponent who's on grass. So that's, you know, that's now 10 of your 16 games a year, at least on turf. So, yeah, it's going to be a factor. They're going to probably have to wear spikes, and it's going to be different than what people kind of maybe expect. But it kind of does go both ways a little bit here.
Jeff Schwartz joins us this morning on the show to look ahead to the championship games. Patriots can run the football very well. That might end up being the difference in this game. But then again, the Chiefs haven't really fallen off without Kareem Hunt. Damien Williams has done a really good job. In terms of who you trust more running the football in this matchup, is it going to be New England?
Well, it's interesting. You know, the Chiefs in New England have about the, I'd say, same sort of offensive lines as far as they both have really good tackles. They have a good center. They have some good pieces, here and there. So their offensive lines are about the same. It's a matter of what run defense you're playing against. And, you know, the Chiefs' run defense is just not very good. The problem is, and this is what happens when you play the Chiefs. This is what happened last week. It's what happened when teams come in there. The game plan is always the same because the Chiefs, we know, have a good pass rush. Okay? They have 52 sacks in the regular season. They came at Andrew Luck last week. And they play much, much better, by the way, at home, which is interesting because for whatever reason, they're just a better defense at home. They've been that way all year. Haven't played great offenses, but they've held those offenses. They have played under their season total, so they've played really well. The game plan is the same every time. I'm going to say it's the same this week. Run the football. So you run the football. You keep the ball away from Pat Mahomes. You control the clock. You control the crowd. What happens is if you get down 14-0, do you stick with your game plan? The Chargers, when they played the Chiefs, did that because the Chargers got stops on defense. They were down 14-0 and just kept running the ball, running their offense. Eventually, they won the football game. So New England, if they come down and go 3-0 the first drive, Kansas City scores, New England punts the ball again, and they get down 14-0, do you stick to your game plan, which has to be run the football and complete some play-action passes, taking advantage of Eric Berry not being in the middle of the field probably. So will they stick to what they should be doing is a big part of when you play the Chiefs.
I felt as though the Chargers getting blown out was a coaching and quarterback failure. I just felt like defensively they didn't do what they needed to do, which they did against the Ravens, against Belichick and Brady. And that at quarterback, I mean, Phillip Rivers melting down on the officials cannot help climb out of a hole. What did you think was the biggest reason? To me, I don't think the Chargers are 40 points worse than the Patriots, but they were at one point in that game. What do you point to why they got blown out?
Yeah, Rivers, I mean, that's who he is, right? He's always going to try to get an edge with the officials. The complaining didn't help or hurt the game. It just looks worse when you lose, obviously, to be complaining like that. You know, I will say it was a coaching blunder, in my opinion. I mean, you have – it's interesting. I don't know if people either underestimate Belichick or just think that he's not as good as he really is. I mean, but the Chargers came in this game with that hybrid defense thinking that the Patriots were going to run what they normally do, and they did. They came out around power football. This is the one thing that I just don't understand I appreciate this, but other people in the NFL don't, is – Bill Belichick is so multiple what he can do, right? He can do whatever he has to do that week. I remember we played him in 2015, the only time I played him that I can recall as a starter. So, you know, we came into that game, I was on the Giants, it was middle of the season, and we prepared for three different base defenses. Normally teams have one base defense. New England had three, and we actually got the third of the three we thought we'd get that game. And that's what they can do, right? So if they come out and you run this hybrid 4-1-6 defense with seven defensive backs, they'll just run the football, and they did. And then they play action pass, and then you have secondary players playing linebacker who don't know how to defend a play action pass from that spot on the field. And they took advantage of this, and eventually the Chargers changed their defense and played better in the second half, but by then it was too late. So we keep people in the NFL keep continually underestimating how multiple the Patriots can be, and they just keep taking advantage of it.
Jeff Schwartz joins us here on the DA show, and I want to talk about coaching in the Cowboys and Rams game, because in an article for The Ringer, right guard Austin Blythe of the Rams talked about how they knew what the Cowboys defensive line was going to do. I'm going to read this for you and the listeners. Blythe said, usually they like to play a three technique. But if my guy got a little wider and looked like he was going to play the left or right tackle, he was going to slant out and we were going to get another movement from the other side too. If the tackle is going to come in, the tell is going to come in from the other side. Asked how often that was accurate in that game, Blythe said more than 90%. Was that great coaching by the Rams to look for that tell, or is that a problem by Cowboys coaching that the tell was so obvious?
Everyone who plays the Cowboys knows this stuff. I'm surprised he said it out loud. I mean, like they're not complicated defense. They're a cover two team. They pirate. They stunt certain defenders depending on the coverages. It's not a surprise when you play them. Everyone knows what they're doing. They just execute it better than you at times. And the best offensive lines, and the Rams are one of them, just study this. And look, you can be told the tendencies all you want by your coaches, but you have to go out on Sunday and see them. Right? I mean, you could say, oh, if he's wider, this is what it is. But if you're a lineman who doesn't really pay attention to those little details, your coach can tell you all you want, and it doesn't matter. But the Rams have an offensive line that does. I'm just surprised he said that out loud, because that's not a surprise. I mean, I've played the Cowboys multiple times. I knew what they were doing. I call it out. Oh, Pirates here, whatever it is. And you have to be good enough to get to cut the guy off and get off on the snap count. And they know that you know, and you have to be better than that. So, it's not a surprise. No, it didn't surprise me when I saw him say that. People freaked out, of course, on social media that the Cowboys, there's no surprise what they do. The NFL, there's really not a lot of surprises. I think people get romantic and fantasize about these great these great adjustments that teams make, and it's really not a lot of times. It's little things here and there. It's little advantages here and there. Sometimes attacking one player in a certain play. There's just not, it's not as much fooling as you think there is.
Can you tell me if you can put a finger on why the Saints offense hasn't been as explosive the last month, including the Sunday win over the Eagles, as it was earlier in the year?
Well, they played the three road games, and they're just not as good on the road. You know, they played that stretch where it was the Cowboys, the Panthers, and the Bucks. I think it was the Bucks, the Panthers. That's the way that order went. But they're just not as good on the road this year. At home, they averaged 37 points a game when Drew Brees was starting this year. At home, you know, he didn't start Week 17. You know, what happened on Sunday was the Eagles just, their defensive line controlled that game for the first about 18, 22 minutes of that game. We saw a lot of holding penalties on the Saints. We saw some procedural penalties. We saw some false starts. Obviously, some delay games. Just weird things we hadn't seen. They just looked rusty. So I'm not terribly concerned about it, but I do think teams have figured out that besides Michael Thomas, there's no one else to throw to. It's actually quite interesting that the Saints have had the success. When you look at their talent on the edges, they really don't have very much. Now, Ted Ginn being back is huge. And we saw the first play of the game. He was open for a touchdown, and Drew Brees missed him. So having him back is huge. But with Talib back for the Rams, you know, that you put him on Thomas, and Thomas is a great player. I'm sure he'll have some catches. But Where are the Saints going to go from there? You double him, you double Kamara, you double Thomas. That's what the Eagles did the first game. That's what they did yesterday, or just now it's on Sunday. I'm interested to see how the Rams go about defending the Saints.
Jeff Schwartz joins us here on the DA Show, NFL analyst for SiriusXM NFL and the Action Network. And not only are you an NFL analyst, you're also a Pac-12 analyst. Also for SiriusXM, and I know how excited you are for Pac-12 basketball this year. What a tremendous season this has been for the conference in hoops, huh?
so we did a whole show yesterday. My regular Sean O'Connor was out. I was on with George Schroeder, who's stuff for USA Today for college football, and we just talked about basically NFL and Kyler Murray for 3 hours. And in the middle of it, George was like, you know what? I like doing this show because like we just don't talk about Pac-12. I'm like, what are we going to talk about? We're going to be a one bid league probably, unless the winner of the conference tournament is not the winner of the regular season. That's the way we might get two teams in.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're not getting anyone in. We are awful. I mean, Arizona State's our best team, who lost to Princeton, then lost to Utah, and kind of back-to-back games. And then, you know, UCLA fired the coach, and they've been better since Alford's gone. They beat an Oregon team who was up by 17 points with 7 minutes left at home and lost. It's just bad. USC was supposed to be good. They're 2-2 in conference. Arizona the appearance of sanctions have hurt Arizona mightily. That's a problem. But I mean, yikes! It's So we avoid it as we can. But obviously, at times you have to talk about it. But it's, I mean, what today I thought I was a producer. What am I going to talk about today about the Pac-12? There's nothing to talk about.
I love the hosts of the Pac-12 radio channel going, oh, I like this show. We didn't have to talk about the Pac-12 today.
But I would love to talk about the Pac-12 conference, but I don't know what listeners would want to hear us talk about. Like, you can only talk about how much our conference is not good in basketball for so long. I'm not, you know what I mean? My boss, I don't know. I don't know what to say. What do I say? What do you say? You cover college basketball. What is positive about the Pac-12?
I don't talk about the Pac-12 for exactly that reason. There's nothing to talk about. They stink.
Right. I wish we were better. I mean, we do talk about often about how we should be better and what we can do to fix that. Obviously, there was that long series on Larry Scott and the conference and what we can do to be better. And basketball, we get recruits. Obviously, whoever UCLA hires as a coach is going to be huge because they have the recruits. That's not the problem. It's been coaching. So who they hire is going to be important. You know, Bol Bol being out for Oregon has kind of taken that storyline out of our conference because he was playing well and he's been 7'3" kid shooting step back three pointers. It's a good story, but he's out for the year. He's going to declare for the year. He left school. He's going to the NBA draft. So there's just not much to talk about. I really wish we could talk about that all day, but we can't.
Jeff Schwartz, you be warm coming up on Sunday, okay? I want to see how those thermal pants work out for you.
I'll probably sweat anyways, knowing myself, but okay. I'll give it a go. I'll let you know how it goes.
All right, man. Thanks, buddy.
Take care.
Jeff Schwartz joining us this morning on the show. That was about 4.5 minutes too much of Pac-12 basketball. I am so sorry. I meant that as a throwaway line for Jeff to laugh at. I did not realize he was actually going to go inside the misery of Pac-12 hoops right now for you. When we come back here on the show, we've got your epic fail. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
Everybody was in an uproar. Maybe these guys thinking, hey, I'm 25 years old. Sorry.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
44 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. If you want to watch the show in best of form, you can watch it on YouTube. Watch when you want, where you want. Just go to YouTube and search The DA Show. Also on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheDAShow. Welterweight superstars returning to the ring. Legendary 8-time champion Manny Pacquiao. Two of the biggest stars in boxing, one explosive fight. Saturday, January the 19th. That's this Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific, live on pay-per-view. And now we're toll-free line brought to you by Geico today, as always. Hey, everyone, there's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Need homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all. Geico.com. I think today we've had more trashes come in via the phones and Twitter than any other Trash Tuesday ever. I don't know why. Today I've been inundated by trashes. So nice job by you guys. Adriana had a tremendous Trash Tuesday call earlier in the hour. That was hysterical.
How about that?
And I just can't keep up with all of them on social media. So clearly, you guys, it's a time of year perhaps when you want to vent. I think it's, for a lot of us, a darker, colder, more miserable time of the year. There's no holidays to look forward to, and we don't even have spring yet. And so there's just this six-week abyss of staring out the window at freezing cold, miserable temperatures and snow, and it just makes you want to vent about everything.
Get a motor.
But today has been a great Trash Tuesday. Myron tweets, I'm trashing Xfinity. Don't interrupt my internet service without notice, sending me something ahead of the time to let me know that it's going to go off while I'm working and using, you know, the internet.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
Big Goron tweet, can we trash cover bands? Didn't write the lyrics, didn't compose the music. Hashtag get them out.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
Get them out. Get them out.
I just want to let you know, you don't have to ask permission for who you're going to trash. You just go ahead and do it. I want you to have the green light, okay? Right now, every day on a Trash Tuesday, I want you to remember one thing. When you step up to the batter's box, you've got the green light to swing away. You don't have to look over to the dugout. Don't worry about the first or third base coach. You just swing away. Alex tweets, I'm trashing people who can't handle the rain in L.A. They call in sick since they don't want to drive into L.A. traffic in the rain. If you can drive in traffic, it's about the same with rain. Just suck it up and go to work, idiots.
Let's face it. That's straight trash.
Jardito tweets, I'm trashing people who refuse to use their cruise control on the highway, forcing us to awkwardly pass each other over and over and over. Also, let's trash Jason Garrett.
Splash Brothers, more like the Trash Brothers.
God, did I love Jason Garrett's faraway stare before the game. That was just so gorgeous.
Clap off.
I mean, he really looked like Adam Gase. Just staring out into space with big, bulging eyes. And then after the game, saying that this team inspired him and that the hair stood up on the back of his neck. That's the most inspirational divisional round loss apparently ever.
The Clapper.
Drenznito tweets, I'm trashing my youngest child for not eating breakfast now for a week. Hashtag adulting is overrated.
Warm, sizzling garbage.
Clearly, you don't have Mraz to raise.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Peter tweets, I'm trashing the Cincinnati Bengals brain trust for hiring Dave Shula 2.0 and Rams quarterback coach Zach Taylor. What could possibly go wrong? Hashtag welcome back, 1990s.
Stinky debris.
It's comical now. Who has ever worked with Sean McVay? Hired them. Please, quick. We've got jobs. Give them jobs. Zach tweets, I'm trashing people who talk about the Lakers when LeBron's not playing. Lonzo is shooting in the 40s. He's a bum. They aren't newsworthy.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
Dixieland Dan, here are the things I would rather look at instead of Robbie Rosenhaus. Baby Brock Osweiler playing quarterback against the 85 Bears. Childbirth with someone who was on my 600-pound life. Mraz in a banana hammock covered in butter and birdseed.
Let's face it, that's straight trash.
Dan, the imagery on all of those is so awful.
Disturbing.
Really, really awful.
Get him out.
John tweets, I'm trashing metal detector guy. Right now, this guy's digging up a children's soccer field. What are you looking for out there? An old retainer? Get him out.
Splash Brothers? More like the Trash Brothers.
Get him out.
I mean, please, what has metal detector guy ever found? Ever? Please, I'd like to know. You ever find a doubloon from the 1400s? I'd really like to know. Kevin tweets, I'm trashing Mother Nature for the week. Another one, Western PA goes from tornadoes last week to 24 in snow this week. Hashtag bipolar freeze.
Stinky debris.
Josh in Arizona is trashing contagious criers in serious adult situations. Buckle up and make some decisions. Pull yourself together. Hashtag I want what Adam Gase is smoking.
Warm, sizzling garbage.
Seriously, pull yourself together. Stop crying. Lord tweets, I'm trashing the government shutdown. I don't even have a job, Damien.
Let's face it. That's straight trash.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
Jimmy tweets, I'm trashing Coach K. I don't care. Dude makes excuses for every loss. Wasn't this guy in the Army? Man up. Take some responsibility for your losses.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
You know, I mean, Jimmy plays that zone defense. It's very difficult. You know, our guys had some trouble. They don't really see it very often. You know, Jimmy's defense is really difficult to figure out. And, you know, Zion had a good day. But, you know, we just need to shoot better. And, you know, obviously we need to do better on our end. Blah, 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 blah. Where's my cheese? Where's my cheese? Where's my cheese? Cheese, cheese.
All right, let's get to your epic fail. This is a throwback from a year ago. We just had Jeff Schwartz, former NFL offensive lineman, come on and talk about how he's trying to dress up to remain warm for going out to the AFC title game to watch his brother Mitchell Schwartz in Chiefs and the Patriots. So big man trying to stay warm. Remember, Mraz had a different theory on this.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Fat people, they actually...
I mean, again, if you're going to say fat, say it politely.
Okay. All right. Sorry.
That was a hard F.
When overweight people in the winter, they feel like they run hot. They can wear shorts. I've seen big guys wear shorts in the winter.
They do, and they're usually like those sweatpants shorts with some kind of paint stain on them.
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah,
at the supermarket.
They're definitely like Target gym shorts.
If they were Sean John sweatpants, it would have been fine, but because they're Costco brand, it's like the worst thing I could do.
Guess would be they just stop buying jeans that fit, because they definitely get cold, and I've always said this. Everybody has always looked at me as a husky guy in the winter and said, well, you should be more insulated, you should be less cold. I get so cold in the winter, and I think it's because I have more skin. There's more skin to be exposed. I'm a fat area. So fat people have more skin and thus get colder. I don't know why these fat slobs are wearing shorts. Fat lord.
I'm a bigger target for the coldies.
That's not nice. Come on.
Bigger target zone. It's like Gronk. It's very hard to tackle him and not go helmet.
More frostbite area. Frostbite area.
No. Mraz.
Me and you are elusive to the cold weather. DA
can't
find
it. We can dodge it. So So Robbie Rosenhaus has to be the coldest guy on the planet.
He's a shorts and a winter guy.
The biggest stage out there.
You're walking around Minnesota with the athletic shorts and the paint stain. Driving players' wives all over the place.
Poor Mrs. Bradford. Who's my driver? The dude in the shorts. Okay.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Throwback trash from a year ago this week. Jimmy tweets, I'm trashing my practical joker brother-in-law, who while we were ice fishing last Saturday, decided to drop a couple of minnows down the heating vent of my truck's dashboard, and now my truck smells like a Chinese fish market when I turn on my defroster. Hashtag revenge will be mine.
Someone just got trashed.
That's a really aggressive practical joke, but I love it. And finally, Josh tweets, I'm trashing people that study the menu too long in the drive-thru sign. The food doesn't change. Make your bad dietary decisions and get out of my way so I can make mine.
Epic trash job.
That's a good one. And that factors into Dixieland Dan's earlier in the day. That brings it all together. Dovetails. Thanks to Connor Green, executive producer today. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel. Andrew Kaplan on the simulcast. Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Be good and be good to one another. See you tomorrow. The Mothership Disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.